We're in Romans. And as you turn there, I was really taken by the music we get to sing, because when I was in high school, I know that's the distant mists of time. But it was boarding one year in a school in Hawaii, and I would go out alone, and they had these massive trees, and the winds would howl through them. That's why our team name there was the Kamakanis, the Wind Children. And I would just go out there in the evening and just belt that song, to Be Thou My Vision. And so it just captures my heart, you know, may God be our vision. And he's done everything for us, you know. And more than that, I hope this book, and particularly Romans that we've been through, has captured your heart. Because it's about the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ paid it all and it worked. He is for you. Before you even were a glint in anyone's eye. And he has forgiven your sin. And he has promised you new life in him forever. And Paul, as he gets to the end of this book of Romans, of the letter he's written, man, it's easy to just skip around in it, you know. Especially today, we're covering quite a bit of text, and it's like, oh, this is the end, and can't we just get you on to the next? No, wait. Because our tendency, you and I, is to go back. Our tendency is to make my trusting in Jesus something that needs to produce. Something that needs to be worked on. I start to get principles and rules now about what I'm going to do, and I leave the gospel and move on back to building some sort of cage that I'm going to live in. My going to church or my living life, it becomes a battle to do what I should do. Applied principles and laws, and that's this box that I'm in. And you can do that. You can actually be saved and do that. But oh, my prayer for us this morning, that as your heart is captured by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are free to be yourself. It's actually so freeing to actually get the gospel. Your identity is in Christ. He is your enoughness. He's sort of the anti-principle. I know that's a principle to say it's an anti-principle. It's a tautology, but the reality actually is that we are more free, not less. You can value and encourage. You don't need to compare and all that stuff you think you need to work on. Well, you just have to be. You arrive in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. That's what we're going to see this morning. The fullness of the blessing of Christ, because he has you. And this is Paul closing his letter. Encouraged today, I hope you will be, by how Paul acts. Not as some principles for us to follow necessarily. But see Paul being himself in light of the gospel. So I invite you to look with me at his heart as he closes down one of the most amazing letters in the New Testament that has impacted our lives with the gospel declared to you and me. And he's going to start here with living free. You grammar people out there, I know it should be an adverb. Living freely, I get it. But it's kind of good either way. You're free, right? So here we go. Chapter 15, we're picking up in verse 22. We started reading it today. I just want to say wherever... I was really kind to you, brother, because we're doing a whole name list. I didn't make him read any of the names. We'll have him back up to read the names later. Here it is, Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. So Paul, from last week, he had a call in his life, right? This is the preaching to the Gentiles that saved you and me, that he went out to places that had never heard Jesus and declared Christ to them. So that call had been given directly by Jesus. You might have a call too on your life. I don't know what it is exactly. You may know it, you may not know it. But Paul's calling meant he wasn't able to be with the people that he wanted to be. Isn't that an okay statement to make from this? I mean, right away, right? Our desires have levels, right? Like we may want some things, but that actually serving Christ means we're over here. And it's not like our desires and what happens match up all the time. Sometimes people think that's Christianity and our desires and our need to kind of match up. No, actually they didn't. Paul said, I had this calling. I was over here, but man, I longed to be with you. There's some sacrifice in that, but also look how he just tackles it honestly. Hey, the reason I haven't been around is that this task was more important, but now maybe I get to come see you, and that's what he says. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, since I've longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I've enjoyed your company for a while. Man, I hope I see you, says Paul, right? I enjoy your company. Do you catch the flavor? He's open-hearted. I would like to see you. I'm headed to Spain. I'd love for you to help if you want to, but really I just enjoy your company. I'm going to Jerusalem first, though. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. So he's just open about what's going on in his life. This is what's going on, you guys. What's going on in yours? Well, I'm hanging out with the grandkids. Okay. I'm going to volunteer at the Whatcom Trail Association. That's hard work. They don't let you use power tools. I can't wait to get out fishing. I would just love to enjoy your company. I might not be able to, and that doesn't throw him off. And all this is just kind of life lived. He's not over-spiritualizing. He's not trying to get people more activated or more kingdom building like so many people want to take a stick and poke you. Maybe you even came to church, man, I just need a quick, swift kick in the butt. Pardon my language. But what you actually need is to hear the wonder that Christ frees you. He says, well, wait a minute. Paul's talking about bringing aid, and some churches were doing that. We need to make rules about... No, that's actually not what he's trying to do. They just wanted to, and so they did. It was good that they did. Not a rule, but it makes sense to Paul. For they were pleased to do it, he says. Indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in their material blessings. So Paul's ground, right, of even... giving of the Gentile church to the saints in Jerusalem, because that's what's happening, is the reality of the gospel. You start to see everything through the lens of the gospel. That's what they're doing, right? Our life comes through Jesus. The incredible story and place that Jesus came from was where? Israel. Oh, so we want to help the saints in Israel because that's where the story came from. It's so amazing, the story that we get to know of Jesus Christ for us. And so they're sending some funds to the poor in Jerusalem to help them because the story, you know, we want to honor. There's no politics in that. There's no judging of how sort of good the church in Jerusalem had been. And no, like, I've got to do something to please God and aid his kingdom. No. Nothing but the underlying reality of the treasure bestowed upon us by Jesus and how that begins to influence the free life that you're living. You have time and you're experiencing the wonder of the gospel. That's going to do something, you know. You're actually free to be yourself. That doesn't mean I don't have desires. I want to see my brother. I want to help my friend. I want to honor and live in the truth that all I have is Christ's. Wherever that leads you, as you see need or opportunity, that's fabulous, right? I don't have to judge that. Maybe you say today, well, that's fine for you to say, Dax. I don't have a brother. I don't have friends. The answer isn't, well, go get some. Paul's not, you're missing the point, dude. What do you mean? He's not highlighting what he has or doesn't have. He's living free in his enoughness. His value, his identity, his solidity, it's already set. So whatever comes, he's interested, he's open, he doesn't bemoan what he doesn't have. Man, I wish I had a jet ski that would take me right away to Spain. Jet skis are not invented yet, Paul, sorry. No, that's silly, right? But the idea is he doesn't look at what he doesn't have. He says, oh, I'm free and I've been given more than I can ever know in Christ. He has the best, which is Jesus, and he's involved in this gift piece. He is, but would you please note how he's involved? He's not orchestrating it and making sure it happens. No, he's the mailman. They asked me to carry it over, to go over there, so I'm going there first. That's what he says. And then he says, when I've completed this and have delivered to them what's been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. And know that when I come to you, I'll come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. So this is really the big deal, you guys. You say, I don't know this kind of passage, I just kind of skip. No, no, the fullness of the blessing of Christ. This is what we all go around in. I want you to see this morning. You cannot get more blessed than we are in Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenlies, are we not? We have a place prepared for you, he says in John 14, to you and me. We will rule and reign with him because we're his kids. He did it. We're freed from the bondage that law brought by inflaming our rebellion. And so now we trust this incredible Jesus Christ. Greatest treasure ever. And you know what? I love that. Jesus, the greatest treasure ever. And then the next line in Matthew's parables, right? Is he turns and says, oh yeah, and I'm the merchant seeking the pearl, which I'll sell everything for the pearl. Who's the pearl? You. You're adored. Jesus gave up everything for you. That's just the truth. And instead of you and I trying to maximize some sort of life, why don't you be yourself? Because he loves you. You have to spin this up. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You get to live in freedom. The reality of what the gospel actually proclaims to you, that he died for you. It worked. I love this. And then the Spirit blows us around wherever. I use that a lot, you guys. You may say, well, this John 3 where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus at night. But look, I'll pull it up here just for fun. This is the wind blows where it wishes. It does. Huh? The wind just blows. And you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. I expect what he's going to say next is, so it is with the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't say that. Jesus Christ instead says, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Who's that? You and me in Christ. I've been born again, right? That's even one of the names we have for being a Christian. What does that mean? The Spirit blows you over wherever he wants you to go. I don't know where he's going to take you. I don't know where he's going to take you. I don't know what's going to happen to you. But I know this. You're going to be used by God because the Holy Spirit is using you, right? I want to hear your story. I hope you want to hear mine. It's actually incredible. You might not even realize it. You don't have to be glad and joyous as you go. Maybe you don't see this. Maybe you don't think your life counts. Doesn't say, so are those who realize that they have the Holy Spirit in them. That just is going to happen because the Holy Spirit is actually more powerful than you, not less. He's not waiting around going like, oh, you know what? I wonder how I'm going to use Dax. I hope, well, maybe if he has a nice quiet time today, then I'll use him. Oh, missed that one. No use for him today. It's not up to you. I trust Jesus. I trust that he's got me. And then he's using me most of the time in ways I have no idea what he's doing. I'm going to get to heaven. You know, the cold glass of water. You know, yeah, Jesus, like, oh, here, come on, you guys. I love you. You're like, what did we ever do for you? We didn't do anything. And Jesus says, yeah, that glass of water you gave to that person. I tell you what, for some of us, we've made the list. I'm going to show up in heaven. I'm going to say, Jesus, here's all the stuff I did. And it's going to include that glass of water because I want to remind Jesus of the things that I did for him. And Jesus is going to go, no, those aren't the good things. You know, it was that time when you just put your arm around your brother and asked him for how he's doing. It's a time when you just walked into the mountains and were like singing songs in your heart to me. It was that time when you like saw the kid on the side of the road and you just sat with him for a few minutes. And you're like, oh, that's nothing. And you just, no, that was the Holy Spirit blowing you where you're supposed to go. And they were all part of this. And Paul's just living his life going, I've got the greatest treasure ever. And now at the end of his letter, he's just expressing what he's doing in light of the gospel. And that's his thing. That's what's going on. Jesus is your enoughness. He has done it all for you. You are loved by him and he has you in your hand. Whether or not you realize it or whether or not you have a warm feeling. I mean, I like the warm feelings. As you go to work, as you read your diaper, I don't know why I said that. I don't read diapers. As you change a diaper, as you read your Bible, as you do everything, as you drink your cup of coffee and chat with someone after service, as you're doing life together, you know, these things, the Lord's using them. This is part of you being you when you want to do them or when you do none of those things. He's got you. He's using you. So, but the warm feeling's good. You open your eyes, would you? It's so amazing that God has you. The wonder of a sunny day, the gloriousness that you're really free to be who you are. What Paul does is unapologetically invite people into this freedom of living life in light of Jesus' love for us. So that's the second piece. We're invited in. You're invited into this. He says in verse 30, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. See, we're family, says Paul. And by our Lord Jesus, by the love that the Holy Spirit brings, pray to the Father with me, would you? We're family. These are family relationships. All share what's going on with me. So you are part of my life by praying. Here's what he asked for. That I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy, be refreshed in your company. Can't wait to get to you, he says, right? I will have some trouble maybe getting through the unbelievers in Judea, and so I sure hope that what I bring to the Jerusalem saints will be received well. I don't know either of those things, you know. I don't have assurance from God that my life's going to go like crazy cool. It's not going to be easy. I don't know, but I'm going in. Would you pray for me? And I can't wait to be with you in joy, right? To be refreshed. Because I see that our God has you too. That we're both part of the most amazing story that's ever been written. God's love for human beings, sending Jesus, who's now spreading this incredible good news everywhere. Here's my brief prayer for you, he says. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. In some sense, this is the end of this whole letter of Romans, you know. Shalom to you. Right relationship that I know you had because it's all about Jesus Christ for you. No mention of keeping the law or treating people kindly or being loving or whatever. I mean, he is being loving as a response and reality of the enoughness of Jesus for him. I get it. But the peace is precisely that no matter how things go, no matter if he's in trouble or not, he knows that it's settled. It refers, he's saying, it's, man, may you know, may you rest, may you have what I know is true. Peace with God in Jesus Christ for you. So be it. Amazing. We could end there too, but he's not quite done. So we have one more piece to do even today. And we have the whole letter to finish next week. But I want to finish this because again, it's the same theme and flavor and flow that I hope you can grab hold of. Paul's enjoying other people. This is sometimes hard. We don't really like other Christians that much sometimes. I don't know why. You guys are all so pleasant. No, but seriously, we can, you know, as we see that Christ is your enoughness, like he's my enoughness, that we're part of a family, not that we have to, but we can. And so kind of look what Paul does. He says this. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Cenchreae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. And help her in whatever way she may need from you. For she's been a patron of many and of myself as well. So Phoebe's coming, maybe with the letter, that what we think maybe she brought the letter. So he said, be kind to her. She's amazing. That's what he says, right? But Dex, she's overweight. She's got a hair lip and a lisp. I don't know. Maybe she had all those things. Maybe she had none of them. We don't know. Right? Paul, he's saying these things. What leaps out at you is Paul loves being a part of a team that God made. Like, I didn't make this team. I didn't make the church. I didn't make to decide who was going to say, Jesus is my everything. I'm trusting Jesus. But God has, and he starts to do these things, and Paul just affirms them. He keeps going. There's a lot here. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Why would all the church of the Gentiles give thanks? Well, if they hadn't risked their necks and saved Paul, then none of us would be there. Like, that means they share in Paul's ministry, right? I mean, without them, there's no Paul. And he keeps going. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who's worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They're well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Wow, think about being someone being mentioned by Paul. How cool. Paul mentioned me. But actually, we know almost nothing about these people. And what we know is right there. Snippets. Greet the church in their house. Those are nameless group of people. I don't even know who they are. Epaphras, first convert in Asia. That's amazing. We don't know who he was otherwise. Mary, she worked hard for you. Did she do dishes? What does working hard mean? What does she do? Andronicus and Junia, kinsmen, fellow prisoners known to the apostles. That's really amazing. But he's like picking out how amazing people are just by being in Christ. And then he has a little snippet about them and that's it. You know, they lived full lives doing all sorts of things. And they get just this little tiny snippet that doesn't even capture really who they are. What is this? This is Paul. Free, amazed in Christ. Enjoying people, as he points out. Amazing. I could go around the room, right? We could go around the room together. I love him. Have you seen his cool haircut? That guy's got an awesome haircut. To him, I love how he stops and like gives food to the person on the side of the road sometimes. I like that person. I like how much they snore on Saturday mornings when I'm trying to sleep. No, I wasn't pointing at my wife. She'd be pointing at me. Seriously, greet Joe. He's been in Christ for 40 years. Here's Sam. I love his eagerness in Christ. He's knowing and enjoying how God uses people who they are in ways that are lost to time and space. We don't get to see it. And he doesn't end. It keeps going. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And my beloved Stachys. Beloved. Fellow workers in Christ. What did they do? Does it matter? Greet Apelles, who's approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Amazing, right? Approved, belonging, kinsmen, belonging, workers in the Lord, beloved, workers in the Lord. That's his descriptions of all these people. That's it. Their existence is caught up in the one who really matters, Jesus Christ. He knows their name. He used them, not mightily to build some kingdom that they earned. In fact, you don't even really know what they did. They just got mentioned by Paul as he's like, I like them. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Hi, Rufus. Hi, Rufus's mom. Hi, Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and all the other guys. I'm so glad you're in the kingdom. And all those other saints, not generically, he's not there by name. I that's cool. But it is sort of like I have no idea who any of these people are, do you? You can't find them in the Bible other places. I mean, the occasional mention of a couple of them. All of us. Freed and being used. And if one of you is used to do something amazing for Jesus. We're all in it because we're in the same body. And he's about greeting and enjoying, not pushing and cajoling. He even ends with this: I greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. So in a very real sense, this is about belonging. Why greet all these people? It's not because they were relatives of Paul, or he even knew many of them very well, but they belong. They're part of his story, and it doesn't stop with them. Let us extend amazing greetings to the hundreds and thousands and millions of people throughout time who have been in Christ with us and are our family and used by God to do amazing things all over the world, ways I have no idea what they've done. I can pick out a few celebrities. These guys aren't celebrities. You don't know them otherwise. I know they're free in Jesus. They're used by Jesus. Who is directing and creating and doing exactly as he wants throughout time, space, and everything? I know his name. It is my Savior. He is the head of the church. Jesus, what's your role? My role is to trust him and live freely, to enjoy each other, not as a mandate, as a reality. You're free to do that today. In some senses, I like to say life is not a movie. You know a movie, right? A movie has a story, and the story has a central person, and then there's a cast, and sometimes the cast is really big, and sometimes it's really small, but it's finite. It's pretty small in the scope of all humanity ever. So I go, well, Jesus is the main character, but I want to be one of the people over there. I want to be the third person on the right row in the back crowd saying hi and waving. No, actually, life is not a movie like that. You shouldn't think that, because what we all want to do is we want to get in the scene. We want to get in the movie. No. Really, it's much better to think, I think, that life is like movie credits. What do you mean? That's the stuff I fast forward. Except for Endgame, because it has clips. Never mind, I'm dating myself. You should do it sometime. Get some really popular movie that's a big production. Watch the credits. Especially if it's been in multiple countries. Because then it'll be like Hungary cast and, you know, whatever, Australia. And it'll start listing out hundreds of people. So do that sometime and then stop it. Pick out a name. Double sub grip assistant, secondary hello person. That could be you. On every single big, huge picture movie that's ever been done, there are 1,000 people who get credited because they're a part of the story, but you'll never see them. You don't know them. But they had a part in the amazing story of God. I mean, sorry, the movie that's being played there on the screen. But really, for us, right? The amazing story of God. You're part of it. But I want to be the person up there with Jesus as Jesus talks to him. No, the woman at the well has already happened. We get to see her, but we didn't get to be the woman at the well. I get to be in the credits. I get to be part of the story. With all of us here gathered, we have value and identity and enoughness, and he's using us, and he's doing exactly what he wants in our piece of whatever he's going to do, because he's the director. He's the one making everything happen, and he's got all this cast that he's using to produce exactly what he wants, and we're there, you guys. We're there. We're not there. Oh, some people get to be in this. Not a second assistant, understudy, grip, double, whatever, and the other person is a first assistant, double grip. I want to make sure I'm in that group of names that I never recognize otherwise. No! You're in it. He's got you. You're in the tapestry of God in Christ, just like your brother, just like your sister. You are, let me declare to you that you are forgiven and alive in Christ Jesus, who has paid it all for you. And it most certainly has had its effect as you receive and trust what he's done for you. Don't I like knowing you. Receive it, will you? Don't go back in the cage. Don't go into your belly. Don't. Maximize yourself. Don't try and climb again. Don't think you build the kingdom. You do much for God. Trust that he is using you to do exactly what he wants, and he will receive you into his presence forever. That's Paul today, as he enjoyed his life. He said, this is what's going on with me. And may he bless all of you. The peace of God to you forever. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for what you've done for us today. Thank you, Lord, that you have us in ways we don't really know and don't understand. Lord, in this passage where there's just greetings and people we don't know and names we don't know, and Lord, we look forward to knowing them in heaven. Lord, we confess today, this day, that you are enough for us, that your blood has covered us, that we receive the forgiveness, the new heart, the life that you've promised. Our trust is in you and what you've done for us. Please help us, Lord, to be those who stand on the rock who is your Son, Jesus, now and forever.